I thought you were going to sleep in today.
Yeah, well, you had a wounded puppy dog look yesterday, so I figured,
don't
okay.
blame it on me. What's the last thing I said to you? I said, you know, enjoy your day tomorrow. Sleep in. Enjoy it.
Yes, I know, but it was everything that preceded that.
I guilted you into this?
No, it's okay. I'm up anyway.
You see, I saw Barry yesterday, and at that point, I had been told he wasn't going to be on this morning. It's Good Friday. That's fine. But, you know, maybe I teased him a little bit about the fact that he was going to be sleeping in, and you and I, Shelley, were going to be getting up really early.
I actually got to sleep in today, too.
That's true, because there was no On Target Ottawa this morning.
I slept until 4:30 this morning. It was fantastic.
Wow. What an advantage. I got to sleep till 4:30.
No wonder you look so well rested. I thought Barry was defending his position, you know, pretty strongly, saying, look, you know, it's a holiday. Steve Madeley's taking the day off. Why can't I have the day off? It's the weekend. I'm, you know, I need my sleep. It's going to be great biking weather. I want to get the bike out.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. We'll manage without Barry somehow.
Aren't you glad you called in, Barry?
Yes, you noticed how he said, we'll manage Barry somehow. Yes, like the little guilt words in there. Yeah.
Anyway, it's very nice of you to join us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.
And this story, I have to admit, I would have been prepared to talk about this one on my own because this is a pet peeve of mine.
Yes.
This whole issue of helmet laws, because public health staff are now looking at maybe studying to see if something like a fitness chill would result from putting helmet rules at recreation facilities. They look at the possibility of putting in rules that kids would have to wear helmets if they go to City of Ottawa facilities because they're worried about liability and kids injuring themselves. But they're also worried that if you put in that rule, that fewer kids will actually participate because either they don't want to wear a helmet or their parents won't buy them one. And then you've got the issue of childhood obesity. So if you put the rule in place that you're insisting people wear helmets, are you actually causing more kids to stay home and play video games?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of questions to ask with regards to the mode of thinking to apply this kind of study. So I look at this from different angles in terms of a study impact. You know, will it lead to changing any behaviors? You know, what data exists today? I mean, this issue is likely something that has been looked at already in other cities or just in general. So has there been a search of the medical literature that actually looked at this and answered this particular question? Do we have to do another study that may have already been done under similar circumstances?
Right.
It's
unlikely Ottawa's the first one to tackle this.
Well, exactly. And where is the evidence that fitness chill would exist? I mean, kids play, they go when they play hockey, they know they have to wear a helmet, but there's other sports. Does that mean that in city facilities that they're going to apply this to sports that commonly do not require a helmet? For example, soccer. Kids don't wear helmets when they play soccer, but they get a ball in the head sometimes. But does that mean that you're going to mandate kids wear helmets when they play soccer in a city facility? And even if there was, would council recommend, if fitness chill existed, for example, they find this in the medical literature, would council recommend no helmets be used in situations where potentially a helmet might be helpful in a particular situation, or the reverse? So would the policy change? And then again, what activities would this refer to?
Yeah.
So, I'm this idea of recommending a study, you got to know what you're going to do with it and actually if it's going to change a policy, or is it one of those studies that governments tend to do that end up on a shelf and just for interest's sake and don't really do anything? And would the public accept this? You know, we're talking about children, which is a little bit different because you're not saying to adults, you must wear a helmet, where, you know, we had bicycle laws where they don't apply to adults people over the age of 18 don't have to wear a helmet if they don't want to. But for children, they do have to do that. But again, it's a mandating of a study that I just don't see how this is going to make that much of a difference. Children play everywhere, not just city facilities. So how much is this going to improve or protect children in those specific circumstances?
And, you know, you'd like to think that a bit of common sense could apply, and mm-hmm. and I think in many cases it has in the past when it comes to what sports have helmets and what sports don't. But, of course, when you're dealing with liability issues, people who are responsible for a city-owned facility are thinking, you know what, we've got to err on the side of caution. We can't use common sense because if you know, there's a sport where kids don't normally wear a helmet, but somebody gets a head injury, is, you know, are we going to be responsible for that?
But the simple solution to that would be disclaimers. There's disclaimers on everything that people use or get involved with, and you post a notice. You can have a parent sign. I mean, when children go on field trips with parents, the school has you sign a disclaimer that if the child is injured, the school is not responsible. You know, that they take all necessary precautions to protect the child, but if an accident happens, it happens, and the school is not liable. So the city can certainly do the same thing for activities that they know may result in an injury, and the parent is the parent, and they can decide on whether the child, they're willing for their child to participate in a particular activity with full knowledge of consequences of the activity, and not blame the city if something happens.
And personally, I find that there's sometimes a disproportionate response to a small number of injuries that result, because, you know, even there was, when the bicycle helmet law was implemented, there was talk of having it implemented for adults as well as people under 18. And you know, there's not a lot of, you know, I've always said, if you really wanted to cut down on deaths by head injury, then make people wear helmets while they're driving their cars on top of riding their bicycles. Because a lot of people die of head injuries behind the wheel of a car, but we would never insist on that. So why insist on it for adults who are riding bikes? Why not let them make their own choice?
Well, exactly. I mean, people are responsible for their own behaviors. And it's interesting, Mark, that you mentioned that, you know, a small number of examples or a small number of incidents ends up changing a policy. And that is a classic example of what we call the example rule, which is a report of something that may be a little bit out of the ordinary, because it's reported, misrepresents how common it is, and because people can think of an example of that instance. You know, someone saying a child in a particular sport hits their head, gets injured, and therefore that's going to happen to my child as well, because you can think of that. If you can think of an example, it becomes more real.
Yeah.
And because it becomes more real, you end up saying, why don't we do something to prevent it? But when you look at the overall risk of something like that, it may be extremely low, and that example ends up being misrepresented and policies instituted that really do not make much of a difference on protecting that particular child from that particular activity.
And when it comes to cycling, and you're an avid cyclist, and I do a bit of cycling, the fact is there are many cyclists who are killed in accidents with vehicles who are wearing helmets, and helmets don't protect them.
Well, and that horrible accident that was on March Road last year, where they were all wearing helmets. So, yeah, the helmets themselves do protect, but again, they are limited in what they can do with regards to an impact. They're more designed for if you fall off your bike.
Yeah.
You know, you're at a slow speed and you fall off your bike, but when you're hurtling at 30 kilometers an hour, or if you're hit by a car that's going at 50 kilometers an hour, your body gets damaged, your head gets hit. There's limitations to what those helmets are designed to protect you from. And again, it becomes a personal choice on whether you want to wear them. I wear them because I've fallen off my bike and hit my head at slow speeds, and it saved my head from being damaged. But again, there's always a perspective. You have to look at what things are designed to be used for and not apply them to situations that really do not provide or afford that protection.
All right, Barry, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Appreciate
Mark.
You getting up early this morning.
Thank you.
And have a great long weekend, and enjoy the biking weather.
And you too. Have a great Good Friday and a good weekend, Mark.